from the back, I'll tell you. I have to ask you to bear with me this morning because I found this really difficult. It was one of these teachings that every time I went back to it, I changed it. And every time I changed it, it changed something else. And I wasn't quite sure that I was understanding it, and I'm still not totally sure that I understand it. But that's what I've got. So I don't have time to go away and start something else. So I'm going through this, basically the stage that I'm at just now. I might not have totally sussed it out, but then maybe that's a good thing, because maybe through discussion afterwards, maybe we can, you know, through chatting about it, we can find something else out. I can get some understanding, you can get some understanding. So it's not always a bad thing not to be totally clear on something, because sometimes that causes us to have discussion. But anyway, so I'm going to just read the scripture out first. That'll start us off. So it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 16 to 21. We'll go there, good. It says, "I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting the way in the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we are too weak for that." Now, when you read that, and I read that and I started making some notes on it, and I thought, wait a minute, what I'm putting down seems to be contradicting what Paul's saying. So I'm missing something, I'm not getting something. And as I looked at it, and I thought, right, okay, so let's try and get some context to it. So the first context is, if you look at it, you know, Paul's, what's Corinthians 2 about? It's about Paul writing to encourage the Corinthians to be more triumphant, that God is our sufficiency. We don't need anybody else. And whereas his first letter to the Corinthians was addressing problems, this one is about comfort, jubilation, victory. It's about being comfortable in your ministry. So, never mind if foolish. At this point, I was if confused. And I thought, right, what am I missing here? There's something just missing. But if you think about it, we often talk about the fact that when we communicate via text, email, WhatsApp, very often we misunderstand what someone's saying, or what we said is misunderstood, because you don't have the context, you don't have the tone, you don't have the attitude, the way that you get when you're talking to somebody directly. And I thought, well, a few thousand years ago, the scriptures were written down, but people then weren't used to them being written. They were passed on verbally. So written text was new to them. So maybe they had the same problem. If they read the text, maybe they didn't quite grasp what the meaning was. So I thought, so what if what I'm missing is the way that Paul is saying it? So what if we read that scripture again, but this time maybe give it a bit of sarcastic tone? And see what it says. So, if we go back to the scripture, back to verse 16. So let's read it that way. "I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then tolerate me, just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you, or exploits you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit we're too weak for that. You know, so sometimes when you read, a bit of tone, a bit of attitude into something can completely change the meaning. So, and when you look back, if you look earlier in the chapter, so back at the beginning of the chapter, Paul starts off by talking that he hopes they'll put up with him in a little foolishness, and he's jealous for them with a godly jealousy, and he's concerned about false prophets, which he refers to as those that think they're super apostles. So when you look at it that way, that brings on a whole new meaning. So I looked up a bit of commentary on it and said, right, let's get a bit of commentary. What's other people's views? And looking at the different, there's a few commentaries that I wrote, took a few notes out of them. And some of the comments that were made just about that small portion of scripture, it says that Paul's making excuses that the apostles make for what he was about to say in his own vindication. He says that boasting of ourselves is usually not a sign of a proud mind, but a mark of folly also. However, as a fool, receive me. In other words, if you count folly in me, then let me boast a little, and he'll give due regard to what he's going to say. In some circumstances, it's needful to be that which it may says it may do lawfully. So speak about what God has done for us, what God is doing in us, what is God is doing through us. So, yeah, there's circumstances where it's okay to boast. You don't boast about yourself, but you can boast if it's with good reason, with the right intent. And when he then goes on to talk about suffering fools gladly and the way that they tolerate the different things that people do. And it says, this commentary says, you know, it may be that he's being ironic, that he's saying that, but he's being ironic in his speech. So if we take that into consideration, then maybe what he's saying makes a bit more sense. You know, he is talking about foolishness. And sometimes, like Robbie mentioned, a fool, was it a fool? Only a fool believes in his heart that there is no God. Right? So, in that verse, it talks about, you know, obviously, being a fool is wrong. That's what you would include from that verse. It's, you're a fool if you think there's no God. So it's telling you that being a fool is wrong. And yet we talk about being a fool for Christ. So, what is foolishness? If I am foolish, what does that mean? You know, it can be you're a fool, or it can be doing what's foolish in the eyes of the world. And maybe we need to separate those two things. Maybe we need to understand that sometimes, you know, it's talking about being, you can be a fool when you do certain things, but in the eyes of the world, it's sometimes right to do things that would appear to be foolish. So thinking about it that way, I went back and I went through that piece of scripture and it started to make a lot more sense. How often have you been told that you were foolish or you felt foolish because of the actions of living out your faith? When I was talking recently to someone about faith, and I started talking about when I was a kid, as I've always believed, I was brought up in the church, always believed in God. And one of the things that I started to talk about was I realised that when I was bullied a lot at school, but the thing that occurred to me when I was talking about it was that I was often beaten up, but I was never beaten into submission. Because, you know, you might get a group of kids standing at the school gates waiting to beat my face when I left, but I never ever did anything. If they tried to goad me into doing something, I never ever did it. And I was saying that I look back now and I wonder if was that because of my faith? Was that because of my belief in God and my assurance in God? That even when people behaved that way towards me, You can't necessarily stop them beating you up, but you cannot give in to them. But the not giving in to them quite often in the world's eyes is foolish. So that would be an aspect where it's right to be foolish. But am I a fool if I accept him beating me up? You know, don't be a fool. Don't accept that. Don't accept the way that people treat you. And then when it talks in that verse about foolishness, it's talking about being senseless and properly mindless. So in this case, he's talking about doing something that's foolish in the eyes of God. So what we see here is that although he's, when you read the text, he's saying that the Corinthians were wise to tolerate these people, but it's with irony. So what he's actually saying to them is basically being sarcastic, saying, you're not being wise. You think you're wise for doing that? Well, you're not. But then he's thinking, but if that's the way that you're thinking, if that's your approach to how you learn from the people that are teaching you, well, maybe I need to behave a wee bit like that. So maybe you need to accept me being a bit foolish here, just in order that I can get my point across and tell you. So what he did was he turned it into an opportunity for him to boast. So he then boasted about his ministry and about how God has used him. And he even says, if I must boast. So it's, again, you have this word if in here. If I must boast, he's saying, well, if I must boast. That's saying, I don't want to boast. I'm not boastful. I'm not here to boast. But because of your behavior, if I must boast, then I will. But he follows that up with, I will boast of my weakness. Because it is in his weakness that God shows his strength. So then that verse, in verse 20, he's going on to explain to them in a roundabout way, but getting his point across about their foolishness in the way that they are receiving the gospel. Because they're clearly listening to false prophets. They're listening to other prophets who he is saying are not of God. So he talks about a few things specifically, which presumably people are bringing teaching to them, and they're tolerating it. In other words, they're accepting that teaching when they shouldn't be. The things that he talks about, as he says, first of all, you tolerate people that enslave you. So that's in slaves, it's talked about bringing into bondage. So what were the things that were being taught to them by these false prophets that were actually taking them into bondage, that were bringing them into bondage because they were tying themselves to a teaching that was false? And I was thinking, well, how would that apply to us? What could it be? I was thinking, what prioritizes your attention? What grabs your attention? What takes up your time? Is it a person or people that dominate your lives, that rule what you do? Is it maybe your favourite TV programme? So whenever you know there's an episode on, everything else, second place, I've got to watch my programme. What is the thing that bonds you, that ties you in some way to a person, a thing, and takes you away from what you should be doing in your ministry, in your faith? And then he says, you tolerate what devours you. What devours you eats your confidence. So what might that be for you? Criticism. Are you easily discouraged by criticism? When people criticize you, do you just immediately take that on board and think less of yourself? Or do you just reject it? Maybe it's competition. Maybe you're very competitive, and you've always got to be one better than everybody else. And that eats your confidence, because every time somebody gets a step ahead of you, you've got to get a step ahead of them. Otherwise, you're not as good as them. They must be better than me. Is it comparison? One of the things I kind of hear a lot in conversation that's been said to me is, you know, I really admire you for what you do, but, you know, I could never do that. You know, it's amazing. You're so great. I don't mean people are saying that to me. I'm just talking about the general way people talk. When they talk about other people, things that even like standing up here, you know, you get up and you stand up and you give a talk, or you come up and you lead the praise, things like that, and people say, well, I could never do that. The reality is that you could do it, but for some reason we compare ourselves with other people. And if we do that, that can really dent our confidence, because we think, oh, they can do that and I can't do that, so they're better than me. And they're not. Because it might be that they have developed a skill that you don't have. But it can also be you've got a skill that they don't have. So it's not a comparison that belittles you. It's just different. It can also be just it's something that person does. And if you wanted to, you could do it as well. But you think that you can't do it. And therefore, that makes you less of a person. So comparing yourself is wrong. Maybe that's what they were getting through these other teachings. The next one he says, you tolerate what takes advantage of you. So what the things that get hold of you, grab your attention, that could be local issues, something happened in your local community that's a big distraction for you. Could be problems in your family. It could be news. I know sometimes things happen in the news and people get really, really stressed because of what they see in the news. There are all sorts of things that can consume your life when you allow them to, or if you allow them to. But what he's saying there is you tolerate these things that take advantage of you, that get hold of you, that control your life, that consume you. But you shouldn't do that. That's foolishness to do that. The next one he says is you tolerate those, I just remember, because it says it's slightly different than NIV from the, puts on airs, that's what it says in the NIV. Right. But it's talking about people that place themselves above you, people that behave as though they're superior to you, and you tolerate that, you accept that. You know, if people behave in a manner where they portray that they're better than you, do you allow that to make you feel inferior? Do you allow that to make you less of a person, less of a person than God? Well, you shouldn't. He's telling them, do you think you're wise to do that, to listen to these teachings? But that's what they're doing. They're exalting themselves above you and you're accepting it. And then he says, hits you in the face. So it could be physically, could be emotionally, just people that say things that hurt you. Hopefully not too many of you are getting beaten up when you go home after church, but maybe through the week people say things that are hurtful and you really take that on board. And Paul's saying, why are you doing that? Why are you allowing people, these false prophets, to tell you things that make you feel negatively about yourself, that cause you to criticize yourself? If we are fools, if we are fools, what makes us fools? We shouldn't be fools in the sense that we allow other people to determine our relationship with God. Our relationship with God should be based purely on a relationship with God. It's not dependent on other people. God is sufficient for us. We don't need the approval of other people. However, in the sense we need to be a fool for God, and we need to behave in a way that the world thinks is foolish, because that's God's way, and very often the world sees it as foolish. So sometimes we need to think, if I'm being a fool here, or if I should be foolish for God. I don't know, do you see what I mean? That was kind of quite confusing, that, but I'm starting to sort it out in my head, that there is some script talks about us being a fool if we do this, but also in the world's eyes, what we do will often appear foolish to the world, and that's okay, that's when we're being a fool for God. And if we want to be a fool for God, then that's a hard choice, but it is a choice. And it is only in God's strength that we can choose to do that. And it shows, as Paul says, it shows our strength and our weakness. So it's through our weaknesses that God will make us strong, because we rely on him and not on ourselves and not on the approval of others. It is turning the other cheek. In other words, what he doesn't tell them to do, even in their behaviour towards these false prophets, there's nothing in there about taking revenge. He talks about, obviously, he's saying to them sarcastically, you're tolerating this, but you shouldn't be. But he doesn't tell them to take retribution against these false prophets, because we shouldn't take revenge. And that's the way that the world would respond. Generally in the world, if somebody hurts you, you hurt them back. If somebody punishes you, you punish them back. And that's the part where we need to be fools. Because then the world would see us as fools if we don't take revenge on others that attempt to hurt us. But at the same time, we shouldn't allow that attempt to actually demean us as believers, because all our strength, all our worth is in a relationship with God. So if we are fools, let us be fools for God. Let us do what is right in God, but which might appear foolish to the world. Don't allow others to steal your worth. And don't seek revenge on anyone that tries it, whilst at the same time not tolerating it. And that's my understanding of the message that Paul's given there. Now, as I say, it's very much open to interpretation. For example, that if you read it literally rather than reading it with that sarcastic or ironic tone, then you could take something different out of that. So you might see that differently. But it does, one of the things overall that I felt from it, it does tell us to think about what we are taking on board. We can take things on board from many sources. We can seek guidance from many different sources, from people, from books, from TV channels. We can be influenced by the people around us, the situations around us. We need to be really careful. So, yes, we do need to use wisdom. And yes, we do need to be a fool for God in the eyes of the world. But we need to be careful about being foolish in the way that we allow other people to influence us. And that's essentially the message that I got out of that. So, leave that with you. It's very open to discussion, and you know, hopefully it will generate some discussion, and feel free to come if you see something differently, let me know. But I just want to leave that with you, that, you know, recognizing the difference between when it's right to be a fool for God and when it's wrong to be foolish in your behavior. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the assurance that you give us that you are the Almighty. There is no one greater than you, and there's as Paul tries to put across, you are our sufficiency. You are everything that we need. Lord, help us not to be influenced by anyone or anything else, but that all our influence would come from you as our Lord and our Saviour. So Lord, just bless us. Allow us to take that word away. Allow us to turn that word over. And if we see new insights in it, encourage us to share that we would learn and grow together as a family. Lord, we thank you for your word. We recognize it's a living word, and we want to live under it as our guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you getting up there, Robbie?
Thanks, Tom. You know, when you talk about being a fool in terms of